on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Well, this is it, the last broadcast for the month of August, 2014. It is the 29th day of August, 2014. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where we live. That's the little shack in the internet forest where this little community resides. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where you go to jump into the chat room, which I will be doing presently. It's also where you go for the Listen Live button that makes it ever so easy to listen on a PC. If you're listening on an iDevice, mobile device, Android, whatever, smart, then we recommend the apps from TuneIn Radio and Stitcher Internet Radio. And now, since our conversation with Sal last night, what was it, OOTunes, O-O-T-U-N-E-S, or is it, is also a viable alternative. There's dar.fm. I mean, there's a million different ways to listen to the program. But, of course, I do periodically remind people that if you see some sort of obnoxious pop-up ad on some app, just remember that we are not in any wise supported by that advertising. That's the app developers and the people who are out there trying to get billions in venture capital to become the next big thing or what have you, but it ain't us. No, this little effort, this little community is founded entirely and run entirely and maintained entirely upon listener contributions. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed it is. And that's, well, it at least works. Yeah, we're on Roku devices, too. Thank you, Randy and PA, reminding me that Roku devices, we're there as well. We're all over the place. It's not difficult to find us. You just have to know you want to be listening. You just have to know you want to be part of the community. So anyway, as is always the case, we're trying to raise $150 this evening. And you can do that one of two ways, either through the PayPal button at headonradionetwork.com or via the United States Postal Service, which will gladly deliver your parcel to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801, with a gentle reminder that checks and money orders should not be made payable to Bob Kincaid, as Bob Kincaid does not see them. That's the business end of things, and Boss Man Wayne takes care of that. And consequently, they should be made payable to The Horn or Head On Communications, something like that. Okie doke. So hopefully we will take care of that sooner rather than later. We had a little bit of a shortfall last night. Jim took care of that, and Jim is a proud recipient of Sparky's end of August jalapeno pistachio challenge, and a 1 pound package of locally produced from Northern California pistachios will be winging their way toward Jim in the very, very immediate future. Of course, remember, the mails won't be moving on Monday because it is, after all, Labor Day. Labor Day. You know, that holiday when people making crap wages at McDonald's and the now treasonous Burger King don't get a day off to celebrate their labor. But it is, Monday is Labor Day, and it is traditionally, rather than becoming a celebration, being a celebration of labor with parades by various and sundry locals from labor unions down the middle of Main Street and celebrating the hard work that has built America and, in fact, created America's middle class. No, it's just it's the last day of summer. It's the last day you can wear white. Or maybe it's the last day you can wear your baggy tan suit. Jesus. It's a day for barbecues and maybe drinking some right thin beer. But it is traditionally a day to be hopefully with family and friends. But it might be a good idea to remember somewhere in the midst of all of that that Labor Day is an occasion for noting that it isn't the Carnegies and the Mellons and the Rockefellers and the Cokes and all the and the Morgans and the Jamie Dimons of the world that make this country go. It is people who get up and go to work every day in whatever way they may. Sometimes they go to work several different times every day. A woman was recently found dead in her automobile in a shopping center parking lot because she had pulled over long enough to catch a quick nap in between the four jobs that she worked. You remember when Dim Leader said, it was in Minnesota, I believe, and a woman said, "Mr. President, I work three jobs." And Dim Leader said, "Yes, yes, yes, that's uniquely American." When that pissant couldn't even manage to work one job and do it right. Yeah. No, this woman, because she had run out of gas in the past, she carried a container with a little bit of gasoline in it in case she ever ran out again, and was overcome by the fumes as she slept, and, well, died. Yeah. Wow, you're just a little bundle of sunshine this evening, aren't you, Bob? Had a nice note from Shirley in Wisconsin earlier today. Said she particularly enjoyed this week the conversation with Carol Baker. So I'll be going to the chat room shortly. Carol, if you're in there, a lot of people enjoyed our conversation. I even got one suggestion saying, "Bob, turn the microphone over to Carol once a week." See? Let's see. Today is, of course, Friday on the Front Porch. That's the day that we dedicate to a roundtable, a pundit roundtable, only in this case the pundits are just run-of-the-mill, extraordinary human beings who, you know, have carried this nation on their back to one degree or another over the years, and have expertise that the likes of Peggy Noonan and give me another pundit, George Will, or William the Bloody Crystal. Or David Brooks will never know. So that's what we celebrate on Friday on the Front Porch. And by the way, as we do the evening's fundraising, the Sparky's Pistachio Challenge remains on the table for anybody who wants to kick in $100. It's not, you know, it's not $100 bag of pistachios or anything, but it's just a little, you know, a little incentive that Sparky came up with on his own, and I think it's kind of neat. So where do we go? Where do we go with the at least the filibobster portion of Friday on the Front Porch? Well, the first thing we can do is for me to remind you that if you have never participated in Friday on the Front Porch, there's no time like the present. And if you have never participated, by all means, then you need to send a contact request on Skype. And if you use Skype, you already know what I'm talking about. Send a contact request to Sparky Dunk, S-P-A-R-K-Y-D-U-N-C, Sparky Dunk, on Skype. And the next thing you know, well, you'll be part of the round table of ordinary, extraordinary Americans. As we move toward the conversation portion of the program. Let's see, just keeping up with some housekeeping details. The dial-in number does not work on Friday on the front porch because we can only work Skype to Skype. We tried it. It's a technical thing that has to do with Skype, and we couldn't figure out a workaround for it because a workaround doesn't exist. Another thing, Monday, Labor Day. It's supposed to be a holiday. I don't know if it is or not. I'm thinking about anyway, I don't know if I'm going to be on the air on Monday. Probably will. Not certain, though. I have a feeling Dr. Bill will probably. I don't know if he will. You know what? I'll tweet it and put it on Facebook when I know. So that's really the best we can do. Now, is this computer just terminally slow, or is the chat room empty? Because this computer is terminally slow. Ooh, that was a bit of nastiness. Did I read somewhere earlier today that over at Bullets and Burgers, they've decided now that it might not be appropriate for 8- and 9-year-olds to shoot weapons at Bullets and Burgers? I think I saw something along the way that said that they had now raised the minimum age. You know how you go to the amusement park and it's always frustrating for the children because they want to get on the really cool rides. And there's always that little sign that says, you must be this tall to ride. Well, apparently Bullets and Burgers, I think I had a tweet from Isaac. Oh, no, it was the Angry Indian. It was our buddy Angry. After 9-year-old fatally shoots instructor with an Uzi, gun range raises age minimum to 12. Well, that's going to be. Now, apparently, at Bullets and Burgers, the age minimum for shooting a firearm has been raised to the age of 12. Typically, in a couple of different religious circles, the age of accountability. At least that's what it was called when I was growing up in the Fire and Brimstone Southern Baptist Church. And that's nice. Randy has a suggestion for a sign at Bullets and Burgers. You must be this insane to shoot this Uzi. Yeah. But this was mentioned on the program last night, and I was hoping it was a joke, but it wasn't. The shooting at Bullets and Burgers occurred on Monday. By Wednesday, at NRA Women on Twitter was out there with some suggestions. 7 ways children can have fun at the shooting range. It's from an article. It's from an article in Women's Outdoor News. And here are some of the suggestions. Not one. If children continually shoot the same bullseye target, they can become tired, exhausted, or bored. This was authored by Mia Anstein of Women's Outdoor News. As the boredom sets in, the effort that goes into shooting can deteriorate. Mm-hmm. Kids want, or rather need, to have fun at the range. That's when it's time to introduce other types of targets to change things up. Maybe they could shoot animal-shaped targets, which are fun to shoot while sighting in for hunting season. Or maybe some mutant or zombie-themed targets. Or how about some targets that change colors when they're hit with bullets, you know, from like tan paper to bloody red? And targets that'll blow up when they're hit. Yeah, why not? Let's let the kids shoot some propane bottles. That ought to be a real hoot. Now, the mutant and zombie targets might be disturbing to very young children. But then again, think about it. They can imagine that they're getting rid of the monsters from their nightmares. You mean the monsters from the nightmares you might have if you blew the top off of a 39-year-old firearms instructor's skull with an Uzi? Oh, my God. But those exploding targets, according to Mia Anstein, those exploding targets, well, they're on the top of the fun list. This on the top of the fun list. This is a direct quote from the article. The resounding boom and puff of smoke is fun to see, hear, and smell. Yeah, that's right, precious lumpkin. That's the smell of cordite. That's the smell of gunpowder residue. That's your polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. Someday they might give you cancer, but right now it's just fun to smell, isn't it, Angel? The one that really calls everything into question for me is the idea that very young children should be at a shooting range at all. See, in Second Amendment, Wolverines world, there's no time in life when children just get to be children. You gotta get the little tykes out there on the range. I mean, keep the mutant zombie targets away. You know, those are the ones you just let them plink. You know, don't really try to hit the target too good or anything. Just want to let them shoot a little bit. Three, four. What does Mia Anstein mean by very young children? And these very young children of these God-fearing, upstanding Second Amendment-supporting parents, why are they having nightmares with monsters in them, Mia? Care to? No. Yeah, this, the tweet from @NRAWomen went up and then very quickly went away. Took about an hour before some other friend of the NRA said, ixnay on the unfay of idske uding she unsgay. Come on! But that's Merca. Dern tootin'. Now, you call me, well, what, some sort of knee-jerk, bleeding heart liberal. But I just, like I said, it seems to me that if we won't let a kid below a certain height on a ride at an amusement park, remember where Mr. Hitchler may have left his freedom protector in the on the restroom floor. If we won't do that, why do we let children go to gun ranges? I'll tell you why. Because freedom. Freedom, that's why. Because if you don't start taking the children to the gun range early, some lily-livered liberal will be telling them that guns are bad, that guns in the hands of children kill other children, that guns in the hands of children blow the tops off the heads of 39-year-old firearms instructors. That's why you have to get them to the range early. And, yes, I am finally into the chat room, and we got a good crowd in there already for this Friday on the front porch. We've got Carol and Devin and Jug of Punch and M. Brandt and Art Kellison and Sentient Being and Texas T and Waggy and, of course, indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky. You're welcome to pop by, too, and we hope you will, especially if you've never tried it before. You are more than welcome. Have I mentioned lately how much I despise this computer? It is. I had to reboot right before the program started, and to be quite honest, it's still booting. Oh mercy! Someday. And I'm taking a minute here because I. When I get in there, I suspect there might be a couple of email conversations that have already arrived. And while it is Friday on the front porch, for me it's kind of Friday in the horn sauna. And it's another 90-degree evening in here. It's not a bad thing, though. I mean, I think in the course of 3 hours of radio, I managed to sweat off about 5 or 10 pounds. Yeah, Jim, in regard to the gun range thing, Jim has a note. He says, Fun? There's no fun about it. This is just sick. Believe me. And I do. I do, Jim. We do. Imagine how much different that little 9-year-old's life would be if she had just gotten to go and ride the big scary roller coaster at the top of the skyscraper in Vegas. Or maybe had gone to a go-kart track. I mean, a 9-year-old is not even allowed to walk in Vegas, if I understand correctly. A 9-year-old is not even allowed to walk through the casino area on the way to a bank of elevators. But a 9-year-old can go and have fun shooting live weapons. America. Oh, yeah, yes. I had a note from Steve. Yes, we did finish off the, and Jim did that, from Louisiana, Stan. We did finish off the prayer meeting Wednesday challenge. So, you know, glory. Amen, even. Oh, and by the way, I thought you would enjoy this. I tell you about... No, you're not going to enjoy this. I'm forever telling you about all the right-wing emails I get. Well, on Labor Day, because nothing says Labor Day like having some right-wing POS take a big steamer on working people. And I'm not talking about Burger King at this point. It's going to be... Speaking of which, you know about Burger King. Burger King is moving to Canada, where they bought Tim Hortons donut shop franchise thingy, and in order to evade U.S. taxes. Because the U.S. is a great place to do business, but it's a terrible place to actually be civically responsible, apparently. And it's going to be difficult for me to boycott Burger King because I don't go there in the first place. But maybe, you know, maybe those couple of emails I've sent will matter. Well, then again, they're probably being drowned out by the money. Mark Mix, if that really is his name, is the president of National Right to Work. And Mark Mix has a message for all you hippie liberals who think that being able to join a union is some sort of good thing, okay?
This Labor Day, many workers will enjoy a well-deserved long weekend.
Now, wait a minute. I want to make sure we all understand. I am not manipulating this audio. This guy really does sound like he's just sucked in a helium balloon. Okay. So this Labor Day, working people are going to receive a well-deserved long weekend before they go back to their wage slavery. Right? Right.
But as we celebrate the gains for workplace freedoms workers have made across the country, union officials are working aggressively to protect and expand their forced use power through government fiat. This year, National Right to Work Foundation staff attorneys have assisted tens of thousands of workers nationwide achieve victories for workplace freedom. In America's newest right to work state, a growing number of workers from across Michigan are a well-deserved long weekend.
Damn it. Told you the computer's tired. I think the bits and bytes need a Labor Day. But you got that? This guy has the gall to celebrate the fact that that good wages and benefits have been slashed and taken out behind the barn and beaten with an axe handle in Michigan. No, really. He's proud of that.
Of thousands of workers nationwide achieve victories for workplace freedom. In America's newest right-to-work state, a growing number of workers from across Michigan are joining the fight to protect their right to work free from union compulsion.
Free from union compulsion. You know, those unions who compulse working people into having living wages, who compulse workers into having health care benefits, who compulse workers into having retirement plans that can afford them some modicum of dignity in their old age, who compulse workers into being able to have a job without the constant fear of being fired in an at-will state for no reason or any reason whatsoever under the at-will employment doctrine. That's the freedom that Mark Mix is talking about. I'm going to take an editorial moment here and say that I hope this dirty little bastard gets run over by a bus. And I hope the bus is being driven by a non-union bus driver. You know, who's exhausted, but dare not complain about exhaustion because then the non-union bus driver will be fired because the non-union bus driver has no on-the-job protections. Here endeth the imprecatory prayer portion of the program.
Meanwhile, Volkswagen workers in Chattanooga, Tennessee, when given a chance to vote, staved off unwanted unionization, overcoming a coercive card check campaign pushed by company management and United Auto Workers union officials.
Yeah. They managed to stave it off. You know, with threats. And statements by elected political leaders who were kind of probably breaking the law in saying that nobody in Tennessee will ever have a job again if them filthy unions come in to vote
Volkswagen?
Which is what they did. This is, you know, this guy putting out a statement on Labor Day is like Satan putting out a statement on Easter. Well, we crucified him real good, but apparently he wouldn't stay down. We've obviously got more work to do.
And in Illinois, parents and other family members of special need individuals successfully challenged a government unionization scheme at the United States Supreme Court.
Right. So now the special needs people, citizens of the United States, mind you, some of whose, you know, some of the costs for whom were being borne by we the people. Well, in according to the Supreme Court of the United States and that merry gang of pranksters we call the rats, Roberts, Alito, Thomas, and Scalia. Well, those special needs people can now be served by people making sub-living wages. And, you know, maybe the special needs Americans will have a caregiver for a day or a week, you know, before the meth kicks in and they got to get a new one, or before because they're being so poorly paid, they wind up ripping off their clients, their patients, you know, because freedom. Low-wage Wolverines! Really?
In that case, now in prison, former Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich and current Governor Pat Quinn issued executive orders forcing home-based personal care providers into SEIU union ranks. The effects of that ruling are reverberating across the nation, and thousands of home-based personal care and child care providers have been freed from the forced union dues or fees.
Free at last, free at last.
Despite these big victories for worker freedom,
don't you love how they describe crappy wages and no benefits as worker freedom? Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. You think Kris Kristofferson fully understood the import of that line when he wrote it?
More work remains. Millions of American workers are still compelled to pay dues or fees to union officials as a condition of getting or keeping a job.
Yeah, more of that compelling. To union officials, they're compelled to pay. You know, see, at this point, Mark Mix betrays what a miserable liar he is. They're not paying fees to union officials. They're paying fees into the union to which they belong, which is a manifestation of something called the common good, which is also a manifestation of something that we like to call in this country community. See, Mark Mix here is not some just some guy who doesn't quite understand the meaning of the words he's babbling. Mark Mix is a putrid tool of the 1%. He is well paid. He has health care. He has some sort of retirement. He might even have an actual contract. From some, you know, some gang of right-wing thugs, you know, the Sheldon Adelsons and the David Kochs of the world, National Right to Work. Anybody want to do a little quick homework on the fly and find out where their money comes from? Maybe some Walton Ayers, some Kochs, some Adelsons. Yeah.
And millions more workers are required by law to accept a union's so-called representation.
So-called representation. In other words, when you get arbitrarily fired by some jackass manager, you can keep your so-called job because the so-called representation goes in and makes clear that what was done was contrary to a so-called collective bargaining so-called agreement. What a punk.
even if they would rather negotiate with their employer on their own merits.
Yeah, on their own merits, because, you know, that always works so well. Hey, boss, I need a nickel an hour wage increase. I need a raise. Well, you're fired. All right, a penny? No, you're still fired. How about if I take 10 cents less on the hour? Nah, you're still fired. We're going to hire somebody else for a dollar less on the hour. Get out of here, Cletus. How's that negotiation working out for you? Isn't it fun negotiating on your own? Yeah.
Not satisfied with these unique coercive powers, union officials continue to spend billions of workers' money on politics and lobbying, seeking to expand their reach over America's workers.
Yeah, because Mark Mix will complain about that, but never say a word to the rubes about the fact that his very salary, that check he cashes every week or 2 weeks or whatever, because there are labor laws about how often you have to pay, he opposes those too. Well, Mark Mix is not going to tell the rubes that the very same kind of money he's complaining about unions having is the same kind of political expression that he's making. See how it works? Remember when Citizens United was handed down and it was supposed to be freedom because it meant that the unions can spend big dollars too? Only if every union in the United States ingathered all of its political money, it could not match in a minute or a year the amount of money that the Koch brothers can write a single check for and bury them. So, having accomplished the goal of being able to spend whatever money they want, these punk-ass bastards now want to make sure, well, yeah, the unions can spend right along with us. They can spend with us dollar for dollar. We're going to break them, and they ain't going to have no dollars to spend. We're smart.
That's why the National Right to Work Committee and its 2.8 million members are leading the fight for a National Right to Work Act, making union affiliation completely voluntary, a principle supported by 3 out of 4 Americans. Although union officials have powerful friends in the Obama administration, the National Right to Work organization will continue to fight back against government-backed union boss power grabs and the resulting injustices they inflict upon American workers.
And it closes with text on the screen. No one should be forced to pay labor union fees or dues against their will. National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation, National Right to Work Committee. Let's see. This is probably deemed an educational institution and is therefore, and I just point this out for the hell of it, tax exempt. Yeah, yeah. You, no matter how pro-labor you are, you, via the commons, as a taxpayer of the United States, are paying the welfare for these people to come after your rights. You got it? Where are the pitchforks? Where are the torches? Sometimes it just gets tiring waiting on karma to catch up with the Mark Mixes of the world. Kind of makes you feel all Henry II. Will no one rid us of this meddlesome, helium-voiced freak? I honest to God, I know we've got a number of union members. And, of course, Boss Man Wayne is, to my mind, the ultimate union man. What does it make you feel when you hear this guy coming after your right to freedom of assembly under the First Amendment of the Constitution? I mean, really, what do you feel? What does it do down deep in your gut? Because I'm not even a member of a union. But by God, union membership is part of the reason that I had the middle class upbringing I had. No getting around that. I'll have to send a note of thanks out to Anthony Riedel. That's Anthony Riedel, who is ATR@NRTW.org. I'll have to send him out a note of thanks for his little declaration of open warfare against people who earn decent livings and are able to support their families. I sure will. Because he said, feel free to use the following recorded Labor Day statement from Mark Mix, president of National Right to Work, to play on air. With kind regards, Anthony Riedel, National Right to Work, area code 703-770-3364. That's area code 703-770-3364, ATR@NRTW.org. Well, thank you, Anthony Riedel, ATR@NRTW.org, area code 703-770-3364. Thank you for letting us know that you 1% bug-ass pricks are after every last goddamn dime a human being can earn in this country. This would be an appropriate time to remind everyone of the bumper sticker that we've long wanted to print but never have, the simple bumper sticker that says, they... period, want, period, it, period, all, exclamation point. Well, we're off and running to a merry evening with Jim. Jim in an email notes, nauseous, in need of a stiff drink, what an ass. Meanwhile, Steve in China is feeling entrepreneurial. And every time I use that word, I have to remind everyone of the time that George Bush looked at José María Aznar, the Prime Minister of Spain, and said, you know what the problem is with the French? They don't have a word for entrepreneur. But Steve in China is feeling entrepreneurial and has started coming up with other great ideas for firearms and food, landmines and lobsters, mortars and meatloaf, pistols and pizza, guns and gumbo, shotguns and shrimp. And Steve says, sadly, I know that a few marketing geniuses out there are probably way ahead of me. Yeah. Well, we're at about a quarter before the hour. Let's get a phone call in before we go to the Skype group. Hey, welcome to the program. I hear you in the background. Hello.
Well,
there you are.
Hey, I didn't think you'd pick up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
A little ready. Lots of union stuff.
Who am I talking to first?
Carl from South Hadley. I've called you before.
Oh, hey, Carl.
They want to do the. There's a saying. We have a saying. As the unions go, so does the middle class.
And that's the absolute truth. It's not just a saying.
Yes. And I know a lot of Teamsters who listen to the radio all day and who they listen to with the likes of Rush Limbaugh, or how I like to call him, Rush Rimblow.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Yeah, over here he's Flush Flimball.
Yes, I know. I listen to you a lot. And what you were talking about, getting back to bringing kids to the shooting range, young kids. I shot a lot when I was in the Army. I was in the Army for 6 years, and I shot professionally, competitively in the Army for four.
Mm-hmm.
What a lot of people don't know, especially military rounds aren't that bad because they're copper jacketed, but the stuff that regular people shoot is just lead. And it's coming out of that rifle or rifling very, very fast. It's a very tight fit that makes a lot of lead dust, and lead is a neurotoxin. So when the baby daddy comes home off the range and hugs his little son or daughter, who's 2 or 3 years old, and he's got all this lead powder on him. And that kid's gonna take some of that into his body,
Yeah.
And that's one of the other reasons why a child does not need to be anywhere near a range.
No, you know, you know what you remind me of, Carl. One of the reasons that we have the healthcare crisis that we have among returning Middle East, you know, whether it's Bush War I or Bush War II veterans, is because of the vast amounts of depleted uranium munitions that we used.
I was in the first part. I was in Desert Storm, and I didn't find out about that until about 6 years after I got, 6-10 years after I got back. The thing about depleted uranium, they say, well, it's not really radioactive. But when you're walking around in the sand after it has been pulverized and put made into very fine particles in the sand, as you're walking through the sand, you're breathing it in. So it's an alpha or beta radiation, but which your skin can protect you against. But your lungs don't have skin in them.
Right.
So now you're radiating yourself from the inside out. And depleted uranium, undepleted uranium, the actual mineral that they pull out of the ground, is only like I think it's like 0.7% or 7% of the high grade uranium for not weapons but for nuclear
yeah.
to make nuclear fusion. But they can't get it all out. So there is regular uranium, the highly radioactive stuff, in those armor-piercing rounds that you're sitting on or whatever. So a lot of the tankers ended up getting anal cancer or cancer of the ass.
Yeah.
Or, you know, buttocks or anywhere else because they were sitting on the rounds that they were firing out of the tanks.
I remember one study or one reported group of National Guard troops who came back to their homes in Mississippi and had this insanely high rate of birth defects in the children that were born after they returned.
Yeah, so and the rate of the birth defects of veterans coming back from Iraq are even higher.
And
Afghanistan isn't that bad because they didn't fire a lot of that. They didn't have tanks to deal with, and they just didn't fire many of the.
And of course, in Iraq itself, they have horrible birth defect clusters from where we did use vast quantities of depleted uranium munitions. And what you're pointing toward, Carl, is something that we talk a lot about here more often than not in the context of what goes on around me here in Appalachia, you know, mountaintop removal. But ultrafine particles happen anywhere that detonation happens.
Yes.
And those particles.
Anywhere there's explosions.
Right. And those particles are exactly what you're talking about. They're things that are between 100 down to 10 microns in size. And we know from what happens under the microscope that cell structures just go hog wild with mutagenic processes.
It has the same entry as the virus. It goes right through the cellular walls, right into the cells.
Yeah, and it transits the heart-lung barrier, the blood-brain barrier, and in women it transits the placental barrier. And I'm sure it's no good for the male reproductive system either.
No, it's nothing because nature has never had to deal with that before. There's no, you know, you go back 100 years, we didn't, or 200 years, we didn't have to deal with this. Now it's at a compounded scale where everybody's doing it. You know, everybody's blowing up something to get at what's in the earth. And it doesn't fall down to the earth. You know, it might fall a little bit where we're breathing, but it doesn't really get down and just fall back to the earth and go away. It won't go away. We're just making more and more of it. You know, we're just poisoning the earth for ourselves. That's all we're doing.
Yeah, we're making earth impossible for human beings to live on it.
Yes. The cockroaches might like it later on.
Yeah, and then we go. That takes us back to my statement about I don't spend a lot of time worrying about the 6-foot-tall race of sentient cockroaches. You know, 15 million years from now.
Yes. The Earth is going to reach. I heard it on a movie once. We terraforming. The Earth is just going to get rid of us and start over. It might take, like you said, 15 million years. But the Earth will just start up, start back up with maybe a race that'll pay attention to what they're doing and not worry, you know, not worry about their pocketbook as much as what they're doing to the planet. The Indians had it, the American Indians had it right.
Yeah.
They worshiped the earth, the sky, and the water. The three things that were the most important. When they killed something, they thanked it. They thanked the earth, and they thanked the animal for giving their life to them.
I had a friend from up that way explain to me, even the very, by up that way, I mean my friends in Wisconsin, explain to me that even something like deer hunting, he said to me, you know, when we go hunting, we don't feel like, he said, we don't think that we have gone and gotten something. We think that we have received something.
Yes.
And if you sit and ponder that, that's pretty profound.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
So I take it, Carl, you are a union member?
Yes, operating engineers.
Very good, very good.
I called you a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we talked, I remember.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, do you, and I ask because I've got you in conversation here, and I ran that clip from Mark Mix for a very good reason. I want people to understand how in-your-face determined these right-wing thugs are to absolutely destroy everything that we have remaining that feels like what we were told was a quintessentially American existence. If you played that, even though they've got Limbaugh on in their cars and stuff, if you played that for your union brothers and sisters, would they be incensed, Carl?
Most of them wouldn't.
Wouldn't?
I work with another crane operator. He thinks that Reagan was the best thing that ever happened in this country, and he's not alone. He's 6 years older than me, roughly. But he said back in the 80s when Reagan was not in office, he never had so much work. You know, but the reason why he never had so much work was they were putting all those weapons in the ground, all those missile silos and all that, you know. Yeah, of course, because they made it all union.
And so as an operating engineer, I mean, theoretically, would the tar sands pipelines be an operating engineer kind of gig?
Yes, but not for long. It really wouldn't be for long because they go through so fast with that equipment. They might have 1,000 guys on, but they might have them only on for, you know, I don't know how many they'd put on there, but it might only be for 18 months, and then the job's gone. You know, it's little jobs. You would get more for rebuilding a library, infrastructure, sewer work, redoing water lines, gas lines.
Yeah, see, I was
really more need in this country than anything.
I was thinking about buildings blowing up. Yeah, I was thinking about the thing that most desperately needs to be done around here where I live is for the entire water infrastructure of the 9-county area served by West Virginia American Water to be dug up, cleaned up, and relayed. Given your expertise, we're talking about reaching 300,000 people, so you figure that's 100,000 homes maybe, and all of the infrastructure it takes to get it there. How long would a job like that take, Carl?
A lot longer than the tar sands oil. Because they're just cutting a hole in the ground and going the easiest way. They're doing that because they're doing fracking out in New York State, and they're building a natural gas pipeline from New York State all the way into Boston. But that's only going to be an 18-month job. You know, and it's not even going to be that many people. Maybe 200 guys on it the whole time.
So what you're talking about is a sort of grasshopper versus the ant philosophy.
Yes.
Thinking for the future as opposed to just, you know, well, let's, you know, okay, so it's going to be an 8-week job. Okay, well, maybe there'll be another pipeline 8 weeks later.
Yes.
Let me ask you about something else, and it may not necessarily be within your bailiwick, but it may. You know, I talk quite often about my son. he's Ferg. Ferg. He's 18, and he's trying to figure out what to do with his life. And he got out and got some had some summer work this year doing some labor stuff. He was a laborer. He learned some bricklaying.
Yeah.
An old friend of mine suggested to him, you know, what you need to do is come up to the fracking fields of Pennsylvania and get yourself a job being trained as a welder and make $20 an hour. And he said, you know, yep. they're hiring constantly. I said, wouldn't it be better to be a union welder and make more than that $20 an hour? He said, nah, the union jobs are all going away because Americans are finally going to get sick of paying these outrageous wages.
I know union welders who, I know pipe fitters, a friend of mine still, he just retired last year, but he's still an instructor. And he's got a good pension, and guys are still showing up. The thing about it is, unions train themselves. He's still an instructor for his union, and he's probably one of the 1,000 top rated welders in the country. For what he does, he's worked a lot of new plants, high pressure steam, and everything else. New plants are the top.
Well, but you know, a union welder has a pension. That guy who goes and signs on to learn welding at $20 an hour, he's not going to have one of those, is he?
No. He's going to have to work till the rest of it until he dies, pretty much. Unless he really knows how to invest his money.
And what if he gets sick and it's not a workers' comp injury? Is he going to have health care?
Probably not. But that's the other reason why I pay union dues. We have in my union, my office, we have approximately 1,200 members. We have two women that all they do is the incoming, you know, for health receipts, stuff like that, for insurance, you know, incoming, outgoing. One woman manages the office. Then we have some business managers who get us jobs and stuff like that, agents. And we have one guy, all he does is investments for our annuities, our pensions and stuff. That's all he does. He's a union member, too. He used to be an operator. And
everything you're describing to me, Carl, sounds like, to use Bush's term, a quintessentially American way of going about things.
Yes. I pay about a dollar. Actually, I think it's $1.15 out of my paycheck a day that goes in to support my office. But you know what? When I call up or go down there, they know who I am. They pull me up on the computer. Hold on. I'll be right with you. Yes, your son needs to go, you know, has to go to the eye doctor, this or the dentist. They will cover this and this and this and this. The health insurance company will cover this, you know, and that's what they're there for. But when I call up, I don't get a recording. And a lot of those women know who I am. Actually, they all know who I am because I worked for my union before. But, you know, that's the difference. You know, I'm not a number to them. I pay their paycheck. And they know that.
And they're
union members, too.
It's community.
Yes.
So at the bottom of all this stuff from these freaks at National Right to Work, what they want to do is they want to break up the unions, not because they're so concerned about freedom. I mean, that's a load of bunk. They're concerned. Oh. They understand that they can further depress wages if they can reduce people to having to all be lone wolves on the job site, right?
Yes, that too. But also, if somebody who's making $20 an hour. Who should be making $35 an hour, or $40 an hour with benefits? How much money is times 1,000? How much more money is going into their pockets if they could cut my wages in half and make me, you know, worry about getting laid off or getting fired, not being able to collect or anything else, or worry about, you know, somebody else is going to take my job, so I have to stab somebody else in the back. You know, that's a big thing too. You know, if you're going to be on your toes and worry about so-and-so taking your job, you know, and you have to stab him in the back before he stabs you in the back, that's a big part of it.
It's the money. It's the law of the jungle. And if every worker is out there pitted against every other worker, well, that's I even think these groups are penny wise and pound foolish, because isn't that going to contribute to a much less productive workforce?
In the end, yes. Yes, it will. But they don't think in the end. They think in the long term for their pocket. But they really don't care what happens to my community. They could give a shit less if the town that I live in just blows away. You know, look at what they're doing to Detroit. They don't care about Detroit. Their end game for Detroit is, hey, we got the river that go. You know, we got all those nice lakes and everything else. You know, there's a reason why all those cars were built there. Because of all the infrastructure, the natural infrastructure with the lakes and, you know, the natural canal systems feeding that area around there to get, you know, raw goods in there. Once that city goes away, they're going to rebuild it, but they're not going to be paying for it. We're going to be paying for it. You know, everybody thinks that slavery was the best form of, you know, as far as for the manufacturers, the best form of the cheapest form of them making goods. It isn't. We're the cheapest form of making goods. We pay for our government.
Yeah.
And then when you get sick, they don't have to pay for your house or anything. You get sick, they just fire you. You're the government's problem. You're the other citizen's problem. They're not paying for anything. The citizens are. They're paying no taxes. The rich people aren't paying taxes. The corporations aren't paying taxes. The citizens are. So when you get fired or whatever else and you're laying in a gutter, you know, because you broke your arm and it festered and, you know, gangrene or whatever, you know, whatever else. Whether you got too old and you can't work anymore, like it used to be back in the 1800s. See you later. It's better than slavery. They don't have to take care of you. Slave owners had to take care of their slaves. They had to feed them and house them. They don't have to do that anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I go back to the fact that you say that a lot of your union brothers and sisters would listen to that message and kind of nod their little heads and go, uh-huh.
Yep.
Carl, do you have a remedy? I mean, is there a way to overcome this? Is there a way to beat back these barbarians at the middle class gate?
No, because they have the message. They have Fox News. They control all the media. Look where you are. You're on the web. They control all the 99.9% of the media. The 0.1% control 99.9% of the media. And they do, regardless of somebody who wants to say, oh, it's a liberal media. Oh, bullshit. That's bullshit. And you try to explain to these characters, NBC is owned by this person. Fox News, you know, Rupert Murdoch owns this much of Fox News Corp. And a Saudi Arabian prince owns this much of News Corp. Yeah, but it's still liberal bias. Oh, well, how about the Wall Street Journal? Oh, it's liberal. Really?
Well, yeah, everything's the liberal media.
Yes, because just because they say it, they repeat it. It gets fed into their head, into their ears, and they regurgitate what they say, because, you know, Fox News, fair and balanced. Fair and balanced. They said it so much, they believe it. And all you'd have, When was the last time anybody on Fox News said anything good about Obama?
Never.
Never. So how can that be balanced?
I mean, if I hope he does. If the man lives to be 100 years old and passes away at the time of his funeral, Fox News will have a headline that says "Death of a Socialist."
Yes. Yes, and they don't even know what a socialist is. You know, he's taking my guns away. When? Where? Bush took guns away. He had Blackwater take guns away. Obama's done more for gun ownership than any other president in probably 20, 30 years. He okayed for taking him into federal property. Or federal,
Yeah, national parks.
National parks. So, and you say that, that's just because he's going to take them away. Wait, I don't get that. Or the people will say, oh, he's the Antichrist. Well, since when did the Antichrist or Satan wanted people to get health care? Well, that's just a diversion. You see, and it's just like, really? The Antichrist is giving us health care, better health care. That's a diversion because he wants to kill us, huh?
I know.
Everywhere you look.
No, see, if you're a rational human being, Carl, an entire jug of bad brown liquor sucked up through a swirly straw will not help you understand that line of thought, because it isn't thought, it isn't reasoning, it isn't mentality. It's nothing but. Well, it's nothing but hate.
Yes. But this is why I wish we didn't have a black president, because there's so many ignorant, real racist people who look at him as the black guy, who watched his white mother die in front of him and she would have probably lived a little bit longer if she had the correct health care. But he was also brought up by his grandparents, who were white, in Kansas. But they look at him, oh, he has a deep-seated hatred for the white, what do they say?
Deep-seated hatred of white people.
Of white people. Really? Somebody who wasn't brought up by his father. Now, my father left me when I was 5 and pretty much 7. I really wouldn't have hatred towards my mother's family. Or my, you know, I don't think I'd really, look at what my father did and follow what my father did. From somebody who abandoned me. I think I'd really look at my mother better. I look at my mother in a better light than my father. You know, I just don't get it. You know, well, he's Kenyan. He's not Kenyan. I mean, Keynesian economics. They lapsed on the Keynesian economics just because these idiots think that it's from Kenya. You know, Keynesian.
Keynesian? You mean Keynesian economics? John Maynard Keynes?
Yes. Keynesian, they call it Keynesian economics.
Oh, and the teabaggers think it's Kenyan economics. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, yes. That's why they bring it up, because it sort of sounds like it's from Kenya.
And I don't have the tequila bottle anywhere around.
That's, you haven't thought of that one yet? I figured that one out a long time.
Oh, my.
They bring it up all the time.
God, my head hurts.
You've never heard of that?
No.
I've thought about that one a long time ago. That's why they bring it up all the time.
Oh,
my parents were hunters, and I learned about the word a long time ago. I didn't start speaking until I was 5, so I have a problem with speech. But I know what it means.
Well, you're doing fine.
And I know what's that?
I said you're doing fine.
It's sometimes I trip up on words, but that's because, you know, my part of the brain that controls the speech doesn't always work right. But that's what I thought when I kept hearing them say Keynesian economics, it rhymes, it sounds like the
Kenyan. Yeah.
Kenyan. That he comes from Kenya. And Kenya doesn't have, you know, just like when they brought up his, what's her name? Anal Tate. Not Tate. What the hell's her name? Tates. Orly Tates.
Orly Tates. Orly Tates. Okay, took me a minute.
When she brought up his, when she got a hold of his birth record from the Republic of Kenya. Kenya hasn't been a republic since they were republic, changed to a republic in like 1977. You know, but they believe it. They all
because,
believe it.
Well, Carl, because they want to.
They want to. They want to make him another. Somebody who doesn't deserve it. Somebody they shouldn't follow. And they have the prejudice going for them. Because everybody in white America has some kind of prejudice against somebody who isn't like them. You know, but it's, and I'm in a good part of the country. You know, we have Providence, Rhode Island, where it was that's where slavery started in this country. We have Boston, Mass., where the Italians were the other black, you know, the other black people for the longest time. Until they had the molasses flood in Boston, they weren't involved in politics for years. Once that happened, they got involved in politics. But they were, my godfather was 100% Italian, born in this country. My godmother was French, all French. They were both in the war. She was a guard at the Air Force Base up the hill. He fought in the war in Europe. They couldn't find anybody to marry them in a Catholic church because they weren't supposed to get married. You know, and that prejudice has always been around. It's just been diverted. It's been eased up on them and it's been diverted to someplace else. You know, and it's still the blacks, but now it's the gays and lesbians and everybody else. It's just never going to stop. They know, divide and conquer. It's been known for years. You know your ancient history better than I. To divide, to conquer, you divide. And they're working as best as they can.
And it seems they're very successful.
Yes. But when we finally pollute this planet bad enough where they have to go into the little holes in the ground, I don't think they have more than 50 or 100 years of diesel fuel and food in those little holes. So even if they reproduce, if this planet gets heated up that much, it has to go through a cooling down cycle. And we're going to have another ice age. The chances of the human race surviving is nil and very, very nil.
Well, you know, really, in the long run, the real threat to as I understand it, to human continuation, is the fact that the essential elements of life are going to become impossible because the water and the air will be so fouled.
Yes, or even if it just heats up, then because after the heating up comes the cooling down.
Yeah, but the cooling down is not going to come for a very long time.
Yes, but they're not going to, you know, do you think they have 1,000 years worth of diesel fuel on the ground to support their generators?
Oh, hell no. That one little factoid that came out of the article that I read the other night about Southeast Louisiana, what was the number? 50% of the nation's oil refineries are in places that are about to be submerged. In the next 50 years?
Maryland?
No, Southeast Louisiana. That's where, from Houston over to Southeast Louisiana, 50% of the nation's oil refineries are right there.
Well, there's one in Delaware that wants federal funding because they're getting flooded out now. I think it's Delaware. Maryland or Delaware? They wanted federal funding because they're getting flooded now. You know, it's just an irony. You know, an oil refinery wanting federal funding because of climate change. You know, it's just, that's what, I think we're just effed beyond belief.
Sometimes it's hard to avoid that conclusion. But you know, I have to have a little optimism somewhere, and there's a hell of a lot of people power that's mobilizing out there. I don't know yet if we appropriately know how to use that power.
I think going back to getting into Europe, what they used to do to the, there was a story I remember about this royal family back in, I think, the 1600s, where the paupers just got sick and tired of them. The peasants just got sick and tired of the family, and they just, castrated the boys, his sons, and they murdered him in front of the family. And I think that's what it's going to get down to, is people like the Koch brothers. It's just, we're going to have to get rid of them one way or the other. It won't happen because they have too much security and you can't get to them. But how Roosevelt called them the economic royalists, they have to go. They just have to go. And we have to make sure with laws, and it won't happen within my lifetime, but we have to make sure with laws that people like that do not come into power in here. That's what the first Tea Party was about. Not the Tea Bag Party, the real Tea Party. It was about the economic royalists in England, you know, cutting their taxes, increasing our taxes. That's what it's going to come down to. Or I'm hoping it'll come down to that. But as much power as they have in the media and everything else, I don't think it'll come to fruition.
No, as long as they can keep the cable on and some very basic level of services and distractions. Yeah.
Yes, and that's what it is.
I mean, look how long.
Look over here, it's silver.
Yeah, well, look at how long Egypt labored under Hosni Mubarak and before that Anwar Sadat. I mean, those were dictatorships. But when once the controls had been taken off the ability to speculate in grain, you know, the staff of life, and Egypt could no longer feed its people, that is when the rioting started.
Yeah.
Bread. I mean, they were, regardless of whatever political or religious ideologies were at play, the Arab Spring in Egypt was essentially an uprising. It was a bread riot.
Yes. Syria was the same thing. He was selling his wheat. Was it wheat?
Most likely.
They had enough. They just had enough. That's
pretty much. Well, Carl, it's awful good to hear from you this evening.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. You take care, and I hope we'll be talking again soon.
Yes, we will.
All right.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye now. Carl calling from, I believe, Massachusetts, if I recall correctly. And I wanted to, before we take our, well, past the top of the hour break now, I wanted to send out thanks to Thomas, our buddy Jug of Punch in the chat room. I wanted to thank Thomas for getting us started on fundraising this evening. And encourage others to stand with, side by side, shoulder to shoulder, what have you, with him, so that we can end this week even, as opposed to, you know, in a hole. So thank you, Thomas. Thank you very, very kindly for getting us started. We will take a little break and fire up the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable of people smarter than Washington, D.C. pundits in a matter of minutes, otherwise known as the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. If you've never participated before, send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc. If you have participated before, well, heavens to Betsy, stand not upon the order of your going, but go at once and join up, and we'll have a wonderful little Friday on the Front Porch conversation. It's 21 minutes past the hour. Yes, the PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. So, too, is the traditional mail address. Either one works just dandy. If you're going to use the mail, just shoot me a note so that I can make sure that we include it in the tally for the given evening, namely this one. All right, then. Friday on the front porch, on the way, or for my part, Friday in the sauna. Hi, Janie. We've cooled down to it. We've cooled down to a relaxing 89 in here. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn.
Well, I had just got out from the county prison doing 90 days for non-support. Tried to find me an executive position, but no matter how smooth I talk, they wouldn't listen to the fact that I was a genius. The man said we got all that we can use. Now I got them steadily depressing, low down mind messing, working at the car wash too. Well, I shouldn't be sitting in an air conditioned office in a swivel chair, talking some trash to the secretary, saying, hey now, mama, come on over here. Instead, I'm stuck here, rubbing these fenders with a rag, and walking home in soggy old shoes. Should be smoking on a big cigar, but till I get myself straight, I guess I'll just have to wait in my rubber suit to rub on these cars. Well, all I can do is to shake my head. You might not believe it is true, but working at this end on Niagara Falls is a undiscovered Howard Hughes. So baby, don't expect to see me with no double my
Once again, it seemed appropriate to the situation, the topic at hand, and the discussion, and Labor Day, and everything else. Late, great Jim Croce, working at the car wash blues. Friday on the front porch, Friday in the sauna, on the horn. I'm Bob Kincaid, and let's, and again, a reminder, Sparky Dunk is the contact request as folks wander into the Horn Molloy Skype chat group this evening, this Friday. I don't know if anybody out there doing what we do every Friday here. First of all, it's very difficult, with a couple of exceptions, our dear friend Mike Molloy being one, to see a phone call to a radio show go more than 2.5 minutes. And I don't know of anybody doing you know, a round table that just invites everybody to come to the conversation. So you are welcome to jump right in if you are so moved. Again, send a contact request to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, on Skype. Basically, you just search out, you use the search function, look up Sparky Dunk, send the contact request, and you will be well on your way. Nice gang going, good gang going in the Horn chat room this evening. Like I said, Carol and Devin and Jug of Punch, Kathy and M. Brandt and Ark Ellison and Sparky and Stockton Larry and Texas T and Waggy are there. Y'all can jump in there easily too. We do everything in our power to create a full spectrum conversation here. And let's go to the Horn Molloy Skype chat now. Good evening, Sparky.
Good evening, Bob. I just got a message from our friend Greg, who does the Molloy chat.
Yeah.
He says, you rock, Bob.
Oh, you rock more, Greg.
He is busy rebuilding his wife's computer.
Didn't he just take away a week and just lay around being lazy on vacation or something? If I recall correctly.
Yeah, he went to Aruba for his 63rd birthday.
Nice. I kid about laying around being lazy. That must have been a wonderful trip. And welcome home and welcome back to the grind of rebuilding computers, Greg. Also with us in the chat room, not in the chat room, but in the Horn Molloy Skype chat this evening, Carol. Good evening, Carol.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm sweating like a pig, but I'll get better.
Yeah, my air's working, and I'm glad of it. It's a little moist here in Westinville, Missouri.
Well, that's the same thing we got going on here in the hills and hollers. I feel like I should probably be doing the breaststroke just walking out to the mailbox every morning these days.
Yeah, it's been like that. We got a little bit of rain this afternoon, but all it did was clear off and then just get steamy. So.
Yeah, you get the rain on a hot day like this, and you just starts. You're like a dumpling in a steamer.
Yeah, and in my case, I look like one.
Well, that would be two of us. Only I'm kind of, I guess I'm like, got a little white frosting on the top or something. Waggy just popped in.
Howdy, howdy.
Hey, Waggy.
I'm back in the USA.
Are you? Well, that was my next question. Are you back in the USA?
Yeah.
So you made
got
it.
In after, yeah, after 35 hours of travel, including 6 hours in Kenya.
I was going to say, how was the Nairobi layover?
It was quite interesting. Their cafe there, their specialty was Tex-Mex, which, you know, that's just what I needed. But I watched the TV for a while, the local news and that was entertaining.
Must have been. So a little culture shock coming home.
Yeah, it probably will be. I haven't even finished unpacking yet. Been sleeping.
Getting caught up. Yeah.
Yeah, I got maybe 2 hours in the four airplanes I was in coming home.
Yeah, there's not a lot of quality rest going on. And you know what, that reminds me of a story that I saw earlier this week that I never got to, about the man and the woman in economy comfort class on, what was it? Was it a United flight or American flight that was going cross-country or something? And I had no idea that they make these devices and they're legal to use on an aircraft. They make these devices that keep the person in front of you from being able to recline their seat.
The knee defender.
Oh, yeah, those are getting rapidly banned by the airlines.
Well, the knee defender, exactly, Carol. First of all, these two people were in economy comfort, for which you pay a pretty penny to get 4 more inches of leg room. And dude was using one, and the woman who was in front of him, who could not recline, wound up asking. I guess she asked him nicely first, "Would you please?" And he said no. So she threw a glass of water on him, and the argument was rather heated. And they wound up putting the plane down on the ground at Denver International, taking both of them off the airplane, and then continuing onward. And I, on the one hand, I read that story and I thought, I think we got a little privilege at work here. But secondly, the question arises: is it, and not being an airline executive, I can't answer this question. Is it impossible for the airlines to make any money at all if they let people flying in these giant buses in the sky not feel like, well, you know, getting in touch with their inner sardine?
My experience wasn't too bad, but I was on Delta Air France and partner flights through most of the international ones. I don't think are not as desperate as the U.S. domestic flights. I had two free checked bags if I wanted.
Nice.
Yeah, that's kind of standard for international, I think. And Air France is still known for, and the food was good on I'm Royal Dutch, not so good. And vegetarian options were available for about half the airline meals, even without telling them at a time. So international is not as penny-grubbing and nasty as the domestic stuff seems to be. But then again, you pay for it.
Oh yeah, and that's the question. Would airfares, and they're not exactly cheap as it is. Would airfares go through the roof if people could actually stretch their legs out?
No, it's probably a matter of a couple of percent. But that couple of percent is, you know, what's going to the CEO pays. And
oh, that's what I was going to say. Because
the domestic airlines.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because what's at play here is the CEO's year-end Christmas bonus that lets him buy the gold-plated urinal for his bathroom.
Ding, ding, ding.
Well, it seems like corporate America makes it unnecessarily difficult for the rest of us.
Yeah, because you know, they just got to keep pulling in that 250, 260, 300 times their worker pay.
And that's on the low end these days, isn't it?
No, I just heard the stats that it's 250 to one, but that's overall.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, most companies are not the big behemoths.
I expect, my flight experience is everything leaves Charleston, and I'm usually on Delta too, so that means I wind up in either Atlanta or Detroit. And that's a 1 hour flight. I can be reasonably uncomfortable for an hour. 6 hours, 7 hours, that's a different story. I flew from National in D.C. because I will not refer to it by that greasy-headed old B-movie actor's name. Yeah, do you realize when you pull into that place, there's like this 12-foot tall statue of the greasy-headed B-movie actor? It really is icky. But I'll never fly United again because I flew a sardine flight from D.C. to San Francisco. And I had the seat against the back bulkhead next to the lavatory, and it wouldn't recline at all. And I know it sounds a little bit spoiled, but I got 51-year-old knees, and I was moving like the Tin Man before Dorothy got to him with the oil can by the time we got off.
How come your knees are so bad?
Congenital birth defect.
Oh, okay.
Or, well, birth defect. I don't know if it was congenital, but I was born with whatever it is that's supposed to ride under the kneecap and keep the kneecap from grinding against the bones.
Cartilage.
It isn't there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know what that's all about.
Yeah. And so
having had two knee surgeries.
Yeah, they stiffen up pretty quick.
Yeah, but I got 40-year electrician knees.
And that's another of those things that our buddy Mark Mix here doesn't understand. Labor takes a toll on a human being. Of course, all you'd have to do is see this video to know that Mark Mix has never worked a day in his life. He's probably never even had dirt under his fingernails. And for him to sit there and talk about working people being oppressed by unions, I saw that earlier in the day, and I decided to run it on the program this evening, and it infuriated me.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who works for a living should be infuriated.
Well, today is the last business day of the month, and I get paid my pension every last business day of the month. Like clockwork.
Yeah, and some guy out there who doesn't have 40, who wasn't an IBEW member but did electrician work, he's not getting that.
Oh, hell no.
In fact, he's still working. It's kind of like what Carl said. He's going to work till he dies.
Yeah, I know a concrete worker and a plumber. It's the concrete worker is the guy that did our sidewalk, 70 years old. And the plumber's about the same age, 70, 71, something like that. And they still have to work because they didn't have a pension.
And that's the America. That's the America these Mark Mixes of the world dream of. Because see, if everybody's working when they're 70, they won't need their Social Security now, will they?
But the one guy that does the concrete, he was in Vietnam, so he's got VA health care. And then he did get, since he was in Vietnam, you know, he's in country, that Agent Orange stuff, he's getting a veteran's pension. It's a small one.
No, by the way, Carol, thanks for the mention over on Facebook that you were off to the... I don't know if this qualifies as liberal talk radio sanity, but by golly, we appreciate the compliment.
I think it does. I'm just trying to get more people over here to listen, just because it's such a nice alternative to the toxic of Hannity and Rush and all the rest of them. I'm still trying to stop the projectile vomiting from reading the Ann Coulter piece this morning. So,
oh, Jesus, yeah, God, I managed to miss it. Since you took one for the team, do tell.
Well, she was telling everyone all about why Ferguson residents are safer because they have white police officers. And she really doesn't want to see black people die. So since black people just can't cut the mustard in law enforcement, then, you know, she's such a fan of the black race that she doesn't want to see them get raped and murdered and robbed, so they need their white officers.
Oh, my God.
The blonde hat rack herself.
Yeah, see, now, I've never heard that before, but blonde hat rack, that's beautiful because, you know, we routinely refer to Sean Hannity as the life support system for a haircut.
Well, I think that might be generous, but okay.
Yeah, because the haircut's not that good.
I'm trying not to attack her Adam's apple or her, you know, obvious things that would make one question her gender. So
right.
I just refer to her as the blonde hat rat.
Well, yeah, no. That Marcia was a good liberal, a good progressive, because we've actually had that conversation here. A lot of us stopped going that route because, you know, we've got trans people in the Horn family commune congregation, and you know it's a little discomforting. So yeah, there's a way to find a gender neutral way to point out that she is a pathetic member of the human race or a questionable member of the human race,
and that she is. I just, between her and the new game show that they've got going, Win Ben Stein's Morals. I just cannot stand these people. They're making me insane. If Ben Stein uses the phrase scary black man one more time.
Oh, I'm thinking maybe Charles Barkley just walk down the sidewalk next to wherever Ben Stein lives and just booga 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 booga, and let Ben have his big old MI and go off to his long home and trouble us no more.
Well, it was funny because I asked a question the other day, you know, after he made that comment, I said, I put the question out there in social media, if according to Fox News and Ben Stein, you can't say that Michael Brown was unarmed because he was so large, exactly what is the height requirement for not getting shot for jaywalking? And one of my very astute Facebook friends said, about 1 inch shorter than the shortest black man.
It's about the truth of it. Did y'all see that story coming out of another community in the St. Louis area? There was an African-American police officer who had a use of force situation. And instead of going for his gun, he got his baton out. And
the bastard.
I'm sorry?
The bastard.
Yeah. Well, he got, and of course, baton is euphemistic. He got out his club.
Yeah.
And he apparently broke the hand or the arm or whatever of this person who was being not exactly ordinary and has been suspended from duty without pay. And he said, I can't help pointing out that Darren Wilson used his firearm and killed a human being and is still getting a check.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's put their pictures side by side. What would be the difference?
One of these things is not like the other. One of these things does not belong.
God, I played that game when I was in grade school. I should be good at this.
Oh, God.
But then, of course, Salon.com posted the article this morning about the guy who was sitting outside of Glen Burnie, Maryland grade school waiting for his kids to get out of school. And the police came up and started harassing him. They also got a call about a scary black man. And he said, just waiting for my kids to get out of school. They said, well, you're on private property. And he said, okay, I'll move. And they were like, no. Give me your ID. And he was like, have I broken a law? There's no sign there that says this is private property. If they want me to move, I'll move. And they were like, no, you're going to give us your ID. And he said, no, I haven't broken any law. I'm not going to give you my ID. And before you know it, there's another cop there who has his hands on him. And he's like, bro, get your hands off. And the guy looks at him and he goes, I'm not your bro. Fortunately, this man was smart enough to get it all on his camera phone before they slapped it out of his hand. And they got him down on the ground, tased him, handcuffed him, arrested him. And he did not release that tape until they dropped all the charges. But it just hit the ether today.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was because the school teacher, and they did it in front of all of this man's kids. Fortunately, his kids didn't see it because the teachers got them out of there. But this happened in front of all the kids' classmates and school teachers.
And the original call was from, the police call was from the rent-a-cop at a bank or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, scary black man sitting there looking at his phone, texting is...
Well, see, that's the problem, that it's that scary word. And it's kind of like Ben Stein and Tall. What does one have to do to stop being scary?
Be white.
See, yeah. Because obviously, I mean, I mentioned it at the beginning of the program, Carol, that you saw the right-wing references to Obama's baggy suit, right?
Yeah, you know who else wore a tan suit?
Jesus, not Ronald Reagan.
Hitler.
Oh!
We were joking about that in the chat room last night.
God.
Get another toaster.
Of course, I would like to point out that so did most of the men who fought in World War II. So, you know.
Well, I mean, weren't those even the little chocolate chip camos of Bush War I, weren't those tan?
Yes. Yes.
Well, maybe the Labor Day rule doesn't apply in the Middle East, Carol. Maybe that's it.
They weren't Kenyans. It's different.
Oh, God.
You know?
It's the paper bag rule for suits now.
Hey, I used to work at a military school. I was the registrar at a military school, and all of those kids were tan. You know? But I don't know.
It depends on where you are, your environment. You got to wear the color of the environment. If you're in the jungle, you wear green.
He was in the White House press room, for Christ's sake. Did he need to have camo on?
No, in that case, it should have been powder blue.
Oh, boy, yeah. Wouldn't they have had fun with his prom suit?
Oh, by the way, lest folks think that it's just a constant downer around here, there is some good news to report.
Really?
Yeah. A United States District Court judge in Austin, Texas today...
I heard.
...has blocked the trap standards against Texas women's health care clinics.
That's That's right.
And see, Judge Lee Yackel said it puts an unconstitutional burden on a woman's constitutional right, by the way, to have an abortion. Which is interesting because that's the second time that a judge has made a similar ruling. Somebody is finally, because I think it was in, wasn't it in Alabama or was it Mississippi where the federal judge said, what if legislatures could pass laws depriving gun owners of the rights to have guns?
It was Mississippi.
Was it Mississippi?
Yes.
But, you know, this is a district court, so, of course, it'll be subject to circuit court review.
Yes, it'll go to the appellate level, and they'll no doubt win, but it is a small victory.
A little news story I picked up on about 3 hours ago from Dallas, Texas. Authorities on scene at Woodrow Wilson High School in Dallas where a dead fetus has been found in the toilet of a girl's restroom.
Here we go.
Yeah, and if past is prologue, then...
she'll go to prison.
Well, no, Texas Right to Life will claim that some pro-abortion liberal done deliberately had a baby and left it and left it like that to discredit them. Remember? Remember the gun in Target?
Yeah, they'll find out who it was, though. This girl cannot keep this a secret, and she will go to prison. This has precedence.
Yeah. And it being Texas, possibly face the death penalty.
Absolutely, because, God, they love killing people down there.
Well, unless they're just fetuses.
Just not preborns.
Yeah. Because, see, Carol, the preborns don't have the sin of Eve upon them yet.
Really?
Or at least I know, I don't know. You know, that may be the tequila talking.
Yay. The minute their butt hits the ground, it's fuck you, Charlie.
Yeah.
What's the sin of Eve? Giving the apple to Adam?
Yeah.
Well, that or the conversation with the gossipy water moccasin. Pick one.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, she tempted him with a really hot set of tatas and then gave him the apple.
Or maybe, hey, Adam, you want the rib back? Yeah, try a bite.
Hey, Bob. This is Todd.
Hey, Todd.
I'd like to offer a potential explanation for that. Perhaps somebody forgot it on the bathroom floor the way that the Freedom Protectors forgot their guns here that we were talking about last night. You know, just perhaps an observation.
You know what? That makes sense, because apparently there's something that happens to people's memories in the restroom.
I say, I've had dogs, and I've yet to forget my dog.
Well, you know, dogs, cell phones are not, you know,
check, my phone check.
Yeah. Freedom Protector.
Wait a minute. Where's the fetus? I forgot the fetus.
So anybody want to do any homework so we can predict the Republican right to life response to the Texas ruling? Anybody want to look up Judge Lee Yackel, Y-E-A-K-E-L, and tell us who appointed him?
Y-E-A-K-E-L?
Uh-huh.
Judges Directory. Earl Leroy Yackel III is a United States District Judge for the United States Court of Western District of Texas. He was in private practice in Austin from 69 to 98. He was Justice of the Texas Court of Appeals for the 3rd District from 98 to 03 and served as Chief Justice of that court in 1998. Yackel was nominated by President George W. Bush on May 1st, 2003.
Oh, whatever shall they do?
Blame Obama.
I wish it wasn't so damned easy, Carol.
Well, I need another toaster.
Yeah, I mean, when you're having people over and you're just doing two slices at a time.
You don't have to toast the whole loaf at once. Come on.
Well, if you're having people over.
Hey, I'm a giver.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
Well, I have to still use two slices at a time, though.
Well, that's because you are underprivileged, Haley.
I've got a four-holer.
TMI.
Yeah, that is very much TMI right now. But I do have some good news
for toast.
Oh, changing the subject slightly. I've just seen where there is going to be a vote this election, November, in Arkansas to make the entire state of Arkansas wet.
Does this involve holes in a toaster?
No, this involves liquor sales in all the counties.
Yeah, and in terms of wet versus dry, I want to be very clear because it means different things in different parts of the country, Haley. Where I grew up in Alabama, dry meant the most potent thing you could buy in a store was vanilla extract. Whereas dry in West Virginia means you can sell beer and wine, but not liquor.
Mm-hmm. Well, the liquor laws in Arkansas are absolutely Byzantine. You've got dry counties which have private clubs. You have dry counties without private clubs. You have wet counties that have nearly all the county is dry except for a couple of one or two townships. Then you have even the wettest counties in Arkansas have at least maybe one or two townships or towns that are dry. And this is going to eliminate all of that patchwork and just scare the preachers and...
Well, that was my next question. Don't you imagine that there will be some several tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars poured by the churches into, Arkansas citizens for decency and morality?
There's a way to solve this whole problem. Get the NRA in there and make sure that they can have guns in all of those bars and your problem is solved.
Depending on how you define the problem. Of course, that may already be the law.
No, you can't bring a gun into a bar in Arkansas, at least not right now, of course.
Well, y'all don't love freedom.
Well, with the upcoming legislature in 2015, I'm sure, unless there's a miracle, that they're going to run roughshod over the people, and it's going to be another nightmare like it was last time.
Of course, you've also got, I guess, the hottest race being watched in Arkansas is between David Pryor and whom?
Actually, it's the son of David Pryor. It's Mark Pryor and Tom Cotton.
Yeah, Mark. Oh, Tom Cotton. How could I forget?
Oh, I don't like Mark Pryor for a lot of reasons, but this Tom Cotton guy is just so absolutely 100%. A main-cheering candidate from Alec that is unreal, and I will probably hold my nose in that race instead of leaving it blank or vote for the Green. And just because West Virginia's a lost cause at this point, and that there is a race coming up in 2016 for Senate in Arkansas.
Speaking of West Virginia being a lost cause, they had, and this is hilarious, they had a debate in Charleston, I think yesterday. Of course, it was during the day when nobody was watching because you wouldn't want any of that icky civic participation. They had a debate between Archmore's daughter, Shelley Moore Capito, and Natalie Tennant, both of whom are just rambunctious lovers of the coal industry. I'm curious as to, you know, how are they going to love coal when there ain't no coal to love no more? You know what? That almost sounds like the beginnings of a country song. Archmore's daughter, Archmore, by the way, for those who don't know, was the single most corrupt human being ever to hold a political office in the state of West Virginia. And Arch's daughter, and I refer to her as Arch's daughter because she looks like Arch in a cheap wig. I mean, I wish I was just being mean, but I'm not. It's actually an accurate description. Her press people put out a release yesterday saying, well, Congresswoman Capito surely has done won that there debate because she made Natalie Tennant say that Barack Obama and Harry Reid are not in this race. And, of course, Shelley Moore replied and said, yes, but you love Barack Obama, Natalie, and you want to miscegenate West Virginia's politics with him. Okay, I'm making up the miscegenate West Virginia's politics. But well, no, he's not in the race, but you know what? In 2008, he's talking about how much you liked him. I mean, it's first grade in oh, Jesus.
Well,
I like, you like Barack Obama. Do not. He's got them Kenyan cooties, and everybody knows it.
I tell you how bad it is in Arkansas. Usually we don't really see a lot of the ads come up until after Labor Day. And all summer, when I go in the living room and I turn on it's not the Homer Devil box because that's a computer. The TV's television.
Yes.
So I'll go over there, and I'm close enough to Little Rock. I can get the TV stations over there. And anyway, the ads, the dark money ads, are just flowing like a dozen tar sands pipelines into these broadcasters, and it's flowing over the air, and and then we've got a governor's race, which is really toxic between two Republicans. I mean, one's an out-of-the-closet Republican, and the other one's sort of a down-low, but he really wants to be Republican, but he really can't. So he's just bone-tossing a few things out, like I'm, of course, referring to Asa Hutchinson, who's lost three statewide races.
Oh, dear God, Asa Hutchinson. No, all I have to do is hear Asa Hutchinson, and I start having trigger moment flashbacks to the mad race to find Bill Clinton's zipper.
Yeah, that's the Asa Hutchinson I'm talking about. Yeah, he's a perennial candidate, and the guy running against him was my congressman for several years, and he was a self-described blue dog Democrat. And I'm sure y'all know what Blue Dog Democrat is. And they are just, and I will never forget, at an event in 2007, I asked Mr. Ross about INDA. Now, this is when it was coming up the time before last. He opposed it as a congressman. He opposed that. And that told me all I needed to know about Mike Ross. And I will not be voting for Mike Ross. I'll be voting Green Party and for governor. That and several other reasons. But and we've got an attorney general's race. That's another one. It's just a toxic. We got a wingnut conservative that makes Michelle Bachmann look it's Michelle Bachmann with younger, slightly younger, but with a bleach job against another blue dog attorney general. He's not an attorney general yet, but he's seeking, it's an open seat, and he is talking all this absolute, you know, law and order topics, and he's going to do this, he's going to do that. And he's going to stand up for family values. And
oh, boy, Jesus, praise Jesus, family values.
Yeah, family values. And about family values, we're not talking about that's what it, exactly what it means. It's a dog whistle to the
Faith
Research Council, that sort of type.
When they say family values, they mean God, guns, and gays.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a new thing going on with Republican House of Representative members, they're no longer going to be having town hall meetings, simply because they've had a problem with too many of them being recorded and uploaded to YouTube when they say stupid things. I happen to live in a district where I don't know if you know who Ike Skelton was.
Oh, yes.
37 years in the United States House of Representatives, chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, was from the next town over from where I was, and absolutely one of the nicest human beings I'd ever met. Certainly what one would consider a blue dog Democrat, but he did vote with the Democrats in what I would consider all the most important votes. And Ike died last year, but he was beaten by Tea Party darling Vicky Hartzler, who is from the next town over beyond that. She's one of those that got $750,000 in farm subsidies and voted against SNAP benefits. All of her town hall meetings are by invitation only. I can't get in.
Now, what'd you get to throw off the Christmas card list?
Talked like me.
It'll do it every time.
It does tend to happen. All I have to do is talk like myself, and you can pretty much guarantee that, I am the turd in the conservative punch bowl. So.
Well, Haley mentioned a couple of minutes ago what a sewer television is about to become with all the right-wing attack ads. They've been running for a while here in West Virginia. And I have a dilemma on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, my beloved West Virginia Mountaineers, who I don't know if they're taking their big lump of coal with them to Atlanta, Georgia, because they rub a big lump of coal from the Upper Big Branch disaster. It might very well have some incinerated miner on it. They rub it for luck, but that's all aside. They're playing my other alma mater, the University of Alabama.
Oh my.
Tomorrow in the Georgia Dome down in Hotlanta. Now this is my first loyalty goes to WVU simply, and this is the shallow part of the program, by the way. Simply because I got 2 degrees from WVU and I kind of walked away from the program at Alabama. So I'll be watching with a blanket over my head and peering through the space between my fingers and wondering if we're going to need that third digit they're going to have to install on the scoreboard down in Atlanta on the Alabama side. But here's my problem. The workings of cable and over the air for that matter are such that the network doesn't own all the advertising. There are spots in there that are called local availabilities. And I'm willing to bet, without any certain knowledge on the front end, I'm willing to bet that every local availability in that football game in this market will be filled with right-wing attack ads.
Sure.
And all I want is to be really, really shallow and get my $1.09 24-ounce cans of Labatt's Blue Light and escape for a little bit.
And so you're saying you hate America?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm drinking Canadian beer and I don't like Republicans. But my problem is this. I really would. I just want to escape, watch a little football, and go, yeah, let's go Mountaineers, and wonder if we can actually beat the 27-point spread. We're getting 27 points tomorrow from Alabama. The over-under is 55. And I'm trying to figure out a way, how far would I have to go for the political ads not to mean anything to me? I mean, if I get busy early tomorrow and I start driving for all I'm worth and get into, like, mid-Ohio, do I have a fighting chance of being able to not just scream all the way through the local availability? Because, see, my only other alternative is to listen on the radio, and that'll be the network avails on radio will be, are you a friend of Cole? Because I'm a friend of Cole. We all need to be a friend of Cole. And And then they'll come with the local avails, and that'll be, did you know that Natalie Tennant has looked longingly at Barack Obama and Harry Reid? And I just can't do it.
You want me to find you a link, Bob?
Well, if you could, that'd be wonderful. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they'll watch this game somewhere in Eastern Europe or something.
I was going to say, find yourself a radio station that's broadcasting it over the Internet, but not, you know, around your local market. Flip the TV on, turn the sound down, and you should be all set.
No, because I'm enough of an old broadcaster, Todd, that the delay drives me nuts.
Well, the delay, even now, the delay is even more. Even if you can find a station that has a stream, because most of the major colleges have clauses that because they're subcontract to AMG Sports, which does a lot of the college football radio, and they have clauses that the stations cannot stream, so you have to listen over the air or go to Sirius satellite radio. Now, even with that, even if that problem was solved, the problem is with the modern digital rate with the delay caused by depending on if it's satellite or cable, there's more of a delay on satellite than there is cable for obvious reasons. And then if you're happen to be watching over the air versus even listening to the game, you know, over the air, then you can hear something that'll happen 3 or 4 seconds before you actually see it.
Right. So I'm screaming, son of a, right, but you know, before the bad pass is in the hands of the Alabama cornerback and he's streaking toward the end zone.
Well, yeah, that's a hashtag for that, first world problems.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
The last hour of your show last night, I had a pop-out going to the 49ers kicking the Texans' ass floating over the your horn chat room.
Well, maybe there's hope. or maybe I just double down on the Labatt's blue light.
I'll find you something tomorrow. I'll send it to you in Skype, Bob. I'll be looking for it.
I will. Bless your heart. Bless your heart, Sparky.
I mean, Kath and I were watching the Browns game last night, and this was both, I mean, picking up the audio and the video over satellite, and the delay just, I mean, from the same source was so bad that the referee's calls on the penalties, his mouth was moving, he turned the mic off, and walked off the field before you would hear his call. And I mean, there was that bad of a sync problem coming over the same source.
Was it so bad, Todd, that you expected the ref to turn on his mic and just say Godzilla? Yeah.
Well, it would have that may have even been better, but you didn't even see. I mean, he was not even on camera anymore when he talked.
Or here's another problem with modern TV. If you're watching a game and it looks, and especially if you're watching on a high definition screen, it looks so nice until there's motion, there's fast motion. Then all of a sudden it looks like it's a little blurry in places.
The saddest thing of all with this is that, and really there's no, barring anything that Sparky may find, there's no hope for any of us because this is a political season and the politicians know that a whole bunch of us rubes are going to be watching us some football, especially college football, especially in the South. By the way, Carol, welcome to the Southeastern Conference. And consequently, there's no escaping this stuff. I mean, I can remember a time when a football game was a damn football game, and it wasn't all polluted up. I remember one of the great lesser known announcer. Well, he was the play by play guy for the Steelers too, so most people know him that way. His name was Jack Fleming. But especially like the first game of the year, when he would say, "The hills and hollers of West Virginia resound to the," and little hairs stand up on the back of your neck. And now, you know, now we're in the Big 12, which makes no geographic sense whatsoever. And I can't work up a real good hate for, okay, I can always work up, well, there. See, I could have worked up a real good hate for Texas A&M, but damn it, they're in the SEC now.
Yeah, and all the game and all the games that used to be, there would be a few games a year on, you know, early games on over the air TV. Now, everything that isn't CBS is on one of the ESPN networks, and there's the SEC network that's out now, and not everybody that has cable can get the SEC network.
No, and see, like I with all due respect to our friends in Kansas and Diane from Kansas, Stan, I can't work up a real good rivalry hate against Kansas and K-State or Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Okay, Oklahoma, yes. But that's because there's actually a history there, a little bit of a history. But the rest of it, you know, just meh.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
You know how the ghosts float the line of scrimmage, first down line, and then the down and distance?
Sure.
On the TV. I noticed they're starting to ghost float corporate logos.
Oh, yeah.
On the field now. And they change between quarters or halves.
Right. Amalgamated Widget for America.
New York Live. I've seen that last few years.
And they started that out doing it in the soccer leagues, didn't they? With the ads around the perimeter of the stadium.
Mm-hmm. They're going all NASCAR.
Well, they've just ruined it for me.
If I may jump in, I haven't just kind of been lurking for the last 35 minutes or so, but
hi, sir.
Just wanted to, oh yeah, hello everyone. I just wanted to jump in a little bit talking about the ads. Here in Texas, as anyone who hasn't had their head buried in the sand for the last year knows, the biggest race is the race for governor, and a close second is the race for lieutenant governor. Well, normally those ads don't start until after Labor Day here, but the ads here have been running since July. And on Wendy's side, she's come out of the gate calling out Greg Abbott on his bull. Her first ad called him out. I've talked about this on a past Front Porch, about the him saying that, you know, well, Kirby doesn't have any responsibility to make sure rapists aren't among their vacuum cleaner salesmen. You know, I talked about that one. There's a second ad out now. Calling him out for diverting tens of millions of dollars from the cancer research fund here to his cronies, which he, Greg Abbott, did that. And they have, you know, there's a cancer survivor on TV and everything. And, you know, Wendy's ads, yes, they are, you know, negative ads, but they're true. And they're calling Rapid looking out on his crap. But Greg Abbott's ad, and so far there's only really been one from him, is just priceless, and I do mean priceless. Leticia Vandepute is Wendy Davis's running mate. Okay, she is a Latina, and she has been making the Republicans here, you know, crap their pants over and over again, because it's like, uh-oh, not only, you know, are we not appealing to the Latino and Latino vote already, we have one on Wendy's ticket. So what they did with Greg Abbott is they put him on the TV with his cute little family, and they, guess who they put, you know, up forward the most in the ad?
The maid?
No, his wife, who is Latina. Greg Abbott's wife is Latina, and she was front and center in that ad. It's just like, yep, pandering. Gotta love it.
We cannot allow a Latina gap.
Didn't he chicken shit out of the one and only debate that they were supposed to have today?
That was actually Dan Patrick. Greg Abbott has agreed to three debates with Wendy Davis. It's Dan Patrick, who is Leticia Vanderfuse's opponent for lieutenant governor, who only accepted one.
But somebody backed out of a debate today down there.
I haven't heard about that.
On the Republican side. I'll find it.
But, I mean, let me see. What else is there? Wendy's coming out strong. And, oh, in other news, a court ruling from yesterday. Or maybe it was. Yeah, it was yesterday. Because I was reading about it on Facebook last night. And I'm not sure if you mentioned this yesterday, Bob, or not, because I didn't get to catch the show yet from yesterday. But Greg Abbott and the legislature here slashed $5 billion from public school here in Texas. There's this little amendment in the Texas Constitution that forbids the state from shortchanging public schools. That is actually in the Texas Constitution, and it was put there by Democrats back when Democrats actually had a foothold here. And 600 of the school districts here in Texas, that's almost all of them, united and took Greg Abbott to court. And his, you know, because he's currently the attorney general, you know, took him to court and said, you're violating the Texas Constitution. You cut $5 billion from our funds. And, you know, we already had, you know, have teachers that, you know, were spending hundreds of dollars of their own money on classroom equipment. And it's only going to get worse. Yeah, Greg Abbott just lost with flying colors. And they had to restore the money. And let me tell you, it's only, I say it's probably going to be Monday.
Okay, here it is.
He's going to start calling him out publicly for, like, yep, he lost. And look what he tried to do to education, y'all. And I hope she comes out swinging on that, too.
Here's the answer to Carol's question. Apparently, Greg Abbott has, in fact, bailed out of tomorrow night's debate with Wendy.
Oh, wow. Now, I didn't hear about that. Really?
Yeah, I heard that.
Am I not surprised?
Republican candidate Greg Abbott has reversed his decision to appear in the only gubernatorial debate to be broadcast statewide on television. Abbott and his Democratic opponent Wendy Davis had both agreed to participate in a roundtable debate in Dallas on September 30th. But on Friday morning, Abbott's team reversed an earlier decision and said it will not participate, alleging concern over the format. So apparently they've backed out because she's going to be there.
Yeah, so how do you not just go absolutely wild messaging Greg Abbott afraid of a girl? I mean, that's going to play real good with the folks out there in the red counties, isn't it?
You know what? That's actually a good idea. I think I'm going to put that on a poster board.
Yeah, Greg Abbott says Wendy Davis has girl cooties.
I'm just going to put on it, Greg Abbott, afraid of a girl. Just stand like maybe at 6 points where there's a lot of traffic.
Maybe it's their pink sneakers that terrify him.
Well, you know, that is catching.
You know, it never mind.
Welcome, Sal.
Hey, Sal.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Hey, Bob.
Hello.
So I wonder, and you'll maybe you can find this out, Sergi. Will Wendy just appear next to an empty chair? And if she does, what will be the difference?
I mean, here's the thing about
the crowd.
The chair is going to make more sense.
Here's the thing about Greg Abbott and Dan Patrick. Okay, both of them know that they. Both of them have severe foot and mouth problems, you know. Not only are they were pig lickings, okay, they don't even have the charisma that some of the other, you know, were pig lickings around the country have. They, you know, both of them lack charisma. Both of them lack the ability to get through more than 5 sentences without saying something extremely offensive. So it's no wonder Greg Abbott backed out of the debate with Wendy because, he knew that he was liable to, you know, say something or several things outrageous that was not only going to end up spreading like wildfire around Texas, but around the whole country and the world. You know, and they are both afraid. They are both afraid.
Yeah, sure they are, because, again, the GOP is rumored to have a problem with women. Not that I know anything about that.
No. No. I mean, they love women's. That's why they want to take such good care of their women parts.
Of course, I was one of the Democrats in Missouri who held my nose and went and voted for Todd Akin during the primary to put him up against Claire McCaskill, because I knew what he would do.
You're so devious.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And I am so pleased to say he did not disappoint.
We like to think of that deviousness as a feature and not a flaw, Carol.
Well, so do my friends, believe me. And he is just the gift that keeps on giving, because he put out a new book recently where he unapologized for his apology about the shutting that whole thing down comment, which he really believed. And what most people in Missouri did not know is that he only adopted the name Todd Akin when he decided to run for public office. His name is William Todd Akin. And if you go to case.net on the internet, which is the Missouri place where you can find out whether or not your neighbors have been arrested for anything or gone to court, William Todd Akin was arrested no less than 8 times for breaking the law and harassing women at abortion clinics.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? But he changed his name to run for public office, and that didn't come out until after the fact.
Imagine that.
And he writes books for people who read?
I think he used Sarah Palin's ghostwriter, I don't know, I haven't seen the book. It could be written in crayon and have lots of pictures in it, I don't know, but that was just so choice.
Well, I just, you know...
Yeah, right now... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, that's quite a common thing amongst the Republicans. Dan Patrick's original name is not Dan Patrick.
No, he's hoping that people will vote for him thinking he's the ESPN guy.
Oh, speaking of that, there's a current office, the Secretary of State in Arkansas. Guess what his name is? Arkansas.
Do tell.
Mark Morton.
Oh.
Beautiful.
The NASCAR guy?
That's what he hopes you'll think.
Not the NASCAR guy.
Well, he's a nice guy, you know, older. He's always very polite. I'd vote for him.
No, this is a different Mark Morton, even though both of them are from Arkansas.
This guy's campaign slogan is, I'm white, I'm just not NASCAR white.
there's another controversy in Arkansas. Well, I'm going to put the link to it in here, actually, if I can get it to paste up here. I'll post it and let y'all look at it.
To answer whoever asked the question about I think it was you, Bob, who asked the question whether Wendy will just appear, yes, Wendy will still appear. If Greg Abbott doesn't show, Wendy will still appear. I just read that.
That's beautiful. I wonder if the broadcast outfit will broadcast.
It's WFAA TV here in North Texas. And here's the thing, okay. Obviously, I dislike most of the media for being, you know, heavily right-biased. WFAA Channel 8 here in Dallas-Fort Worth is an ABC affiliate. They actually make an effort to be balanced. That's what I like about them. And WFAA says they're still going to hold the broadcast the debate, and Wendy Davis is going to show up whether Greg Abbott does or not.
Well, and see,
so
that,
and I think traditionally they'll just let her have the floor. They,
awesome.
You know, ask the question, she answers. It's a free, what is it going to be, 60-minute slot?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much going to be a free Wendy Davis commercial, basically.
It's a Wendy Davis infomercial.
Yeah, with the talking heads to try to quote balance it, but
yeah, I mean, you know, the thing about it is that I've been reading several articles these last few minutes. First off, WFAA staff is extremely offended by this. I mean, because it's traditional that Channel 8 is the one that hosts statewide debates for, you know, candidates here in Texas. You know, WFAA is perhaps the biggest TV station here in Texas. And so, like, you know, it's carried on cable systems well beyond North Texas in this state. And so, basically, you know, WFAA is extremely offended by Greg Abbott right now. So it's not any surprise to me that they're just going to let Wendy show up, you know, because it's like, you mean to tell us that we can't hold a balanced debate? We're the station here that makes an effort to be balanced.
Well, no, that's probably the problem. See, the question that occurs to me, Carol's observation, notwithstanding that they just now realized that Wendy Davis was, you know, a girl, how long have these things been scheduled? Because, see, if you're in a high-stakes political race, you really do go over every last damn detail of how the debate will come off with a fine-tooth comb. And so by the time that you ink the agreement saying, yes, I will debate, the format issues have been long since ironed out. So you gotta wonder about the Abbott campaign's concerns about the format. I mean, did somebody suddenly at the last minute say, no, we're not going to let Open Carry Texas have all the seats in the studio?
Well, I think they were concerned because the dog ate my homework wasn't going to fly, so they had to throw out the format thing. He's losing, and this is not going to go well.
In other words, there is no way that this could possibly work out to his advantage at all anyway.
That is exactly it, and that
Correct.
Is why he will not be showing up. You cut and run. If you don't have anything...
Hey, Sergi, are you at the headquarters tonight?
No, I'm actually at McDonald's.
Oh.
That's where all the noise is coming from.
Because,
my apologies.
Because America.
Yes. Because free Wi-Fi.
Because free Wi-Fi, precisely.
And see, it's all that free Wi-Fi. That free Wi-Fi is probably why it is that the McDonald's workers can't make a living wage. Because, you know, it's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
You know, as far as Greg Abbott goes, I mean, even his fellow Republicans are calling him a coward. Like, I'm just reading this, and it's juicy as hell. I mean, his fellow Republicans are saying, you mean you're too chicken shit to debate Wendy Davis?
And, you know, in Texas, that correct me if I'm wrong, but in Texas, chicken shit is not actually a dirty word. It's just another adjective.
Precisely.
Yeah. I mean, there are probably perfectly good Republican Southern Baptists down there. I can't believe that Greg Abbott is as big a chicken shit as what he has is what he's just made himself out to be. Honest to goodness. Bless his heart. He's born that
Bless
way.
Bless his heart. There you go.
God love him. He's a. There it is. God love him. He's a chicken shit.
Isn't Republican kind of an insult to pigs, though?
It is. Pigs are good people.
Yes, they are.
And they
But wait. Okay, so Sal offered the question last night that offered a lot of insight. By the way, I got email Sal saying, you know, tell Sal we said thank you because we never know where the Gina story came from.
Good. Excellent.
So you've done it again. We need to work through this. Repiglicking is not an insult to pigs. because it is R-E-P-I-G-L-I-K-K-E-N. Actually, it's R-E-P-I-G-L-I-K-K-E-N.
K.
Yeah,
right. And it has to do with some, I mean, but pigs are good people, but I don't care to put my tongue upon one.
Yes.
So what you have here, a re-pig licking, is somebody who will not only lick a pig, but will do it twice.
Got it. Yeah, that's awesome.
But I cannot let this night go by without pointing out another little juicy piece of Republican schadenfreude.
Oh, yay.
Jesse Benton, the GOP political strategist that is spearheading Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's re-election campaign against Allison Lundigan Gimes, just within the last hour resigned his post.
Oh, no kidding.
He's the one that's mixed up in that endorsement pay scheme between Michelle Bachmann and Rand Paul.
Yes.
In the Iowa primary. And Kent Sorensen pled guilty to two federal charges, admitting that he accepted concealed payments from the 2012 presidential campaign of Michelle Bachmann and from Ron Paul. So Jesse Benton, who was the head guy in the middle of all that, moved on and went and became the GOP political strategist for Senate Majority Leader, or Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. And he has just in the last hour resigned.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So,
that's all tied up with the Iowa business, Carol, but do you think it might have anything to do with the fact that Chinless Mitch got sort of caught on tape a la Romney recently?
Oh, things are not going well for Yertle the Turtle. It's not good at all. He's in a world of hurt right now, and I don't know how he's going to make it out of this. Because I thought he was unbeatable. He was in a statistical tie as of yesterday, and with this, I just cannot imagine him.
Well, he was only 6 points up before the months before the primary.
Well, as of yesterday, he was only 2, which puts him in a statistical tie.
You know what? When you turn the lights on, you got to start stomping out the cockroaches.
Well, the lights have been turned on, and it's not good.
And they're scurrying.
And I got to start. This is not going to bode well. Ron Paul thinks he's out of this. They're coming for him. They are coming for him. Michelle Bachmann may see prison time over this, and Mitch McConnell's getting his guilt by association, which is fine by me.
And you know, mathematics is everything right now in the Senate race, Carol. Consequently, the calculus involved with the Republican side, the present minority, losing its minority leader. I mean, I come not to praise him, but to bury him, and let's hope we get to throw a couple extra spadefuls. But you gotta play the game on Saturdays and Sundays, and you gotta run the race in November. But if he was to lose, from the standpoint as I am occasionally the spokesman for the goddess of irony, would it be delicious if the Democrats could maintain control of the Senate of the United States by virtue of Mitch McConnell losing?
That would be glorious. That would be glorious. And I'm telling you, this has such far-reaching things. This has a lot of tendrils that people aren't aware of yet, and it is not getting a lot of press yet. So, telling you, it's going to be good.
Just like indoor plumbing.
Exactly.
This is Kathy. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
If I could just be...
You too.
You know, I was just thinking back to who all was in that room that night when the inauguration of the president, the Republicans who met. Who all was there? Do you guys remember?
Well, Eric Cantor was there.
Gone.
And he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch McConnell was there. John Boehner was there.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Jim Demented there?
I think Jim Demint was there. Mark Vitter may have been there, which is really funny when you think about it.
No, Diaper Dave?
Yeah.
Well, I was, because it seems like, I believe in karma. And maybe they're starting to fall like dead roaches.
Well, you know, there's something about the karma bus. When you look up and see it running over you, look to see the black guy behind the wheel.
What about the governor of Pennsylvania coming out today saying he's going to accept the Medicaid money come January?
Tennessee came out today and said they are, too.
Mm-hmm.
Are both of those governors up for re-election?
Yeah, count on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, cherchez l'argent, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you know, I have a Republican governor, but I have two houses of the state legislature that are floating in tea, so I have little to no chance of seeing it here.
That's
Larry and I are lucky we live in California. We still have a supermajority in the state house.
Well, you even had the California state government taking overt steps to guard against the Hobby Lobby decision. I mean, I saw that in a headline, 2-3 days ago? That not only will California, not only have they figured out a way to push back against Hobby Lobby, but they've figured out a way to expand care?
Well, I think we're going to follow Vermont and be the single-payer system. We fell, like, 2 votes short the last time.
Would that be a relief?
Oh, by the way, Marty, also in California, pointing out that former California Representative Dan Lundgren was in the caucus room conspiracy. Emphasis on the word former.
Hey, Larry, did you feel the earthquake the other night? Because you sent me a Skype message right afterwards.
Yes, I did. I was awake. I felt it. It was 35 miles north of me in Napa County, which... I don't know exactly where it was, but we certainly felt it. I don't know if Mercedes felt it, but I certainly did. And there was no damage. Of course, the mainstream news media channels, that's all they talked about for hours.
None of your books fell on the floor or anything?
None of my books fell on the floor, but like Mercedes...
Your iMac didn't tip over?
Nope. It was like... if there's an 8.1 or something like that, then I'll worry, and Mercedes is worried about that as well. But right now, everything was fine.
Well, and I think David from San Francisco touched on this last night. Part of the reason that the for-profit media covered it the way they did was because of all those poor wine barrels. The horror. I mean, you know, that may have been a 12-year-old Pinot, and now it's just table wine. It may have been a 12-year-old Pinot Noir, and now it's just table wine. And what will Mrs. Greenspan do?
Well, if you went on Napa Quake Twitter, which, and the way I know about that was because of Gavin Newsom, there were a few people in Napa County whose houses were destroyed. I don't know how many, but there were a few.
Okay, then I take back my snark.
Yeah. I mean, you know who Gavin Newsom is, do you not?
Oh, absolutely. And I was going to ask that question. Why is it, I mean, is he just sort of quietly going out? Because I would think that in another 5-6 years, he ought to be on the national stage.
Well, I got to tell you something. When I was at the San Jose Democratic Party e-board, a little while, I was asking about Brown, you know, what Brown was going to do about taxes or something like that. And he said to me, do you want to know the truth or do you want to know the political answer? So he's slick. I mean, I don't mean to say that he's, he gets it. He's on top of it. I don't know what he's going to do. but he certainly was supportive of gay marriage in San Francisco.
Well, the two Democrats, and well, I mean they're guys, but two Democrats that I've kind of had my eyes on for a few years are, you know, opposites in terms of the continent. But, you know, Deval Patrick in Massachusetts and Gavin Newsom in Northern California. And in Gavin Newsom's case, anybody who has so thoroughly angered Michael the Savage Wiener as to be nicknamed any Twosome Newsom, I'm with that guy, I think, until I get some email from a wildly progressive person who says, don't you know he's just a fascist lefty, right, like the rest of them?
Well, I don't know if he's just an obsessive... Savage is just an obsessive compulsive Jewish neurotic who's just gone completely off the rails. I mean, you know, I'm trying to make a joke, but I'm not succeeding.
No, that's a statement of fact, Larry.
You know, that's how I see, Wiener, the Wiener. And so I never listen to him, so who cares? I don't even listen to Rush. I don't even listen to these people. Try to avoid them at all costs.
I have a bit of breaking news.
Oh, yes.
Greg Abbott has bailed on WFAA, and this is so ironic considering how much the Republicans love to bash PBS, has agreed to a debate with KERA, our local PBS affiliate, instead on the same evening.
The goddess of irony.
Wait, stop. Double check
stop.
That. Yeah, wait, stop. Just go through and look at the text.
It's being reported. It's being reported by WFAA. WFAA-TV on their Facebook page. Update. Late Friday afternoon, Abbott announced that Dallas's PBS affiliate, KERA-TV, has agreed to host a formal debate on September 30th, which is, you know, the same date as the one he bailed out on WFAA. Davis did not immediately agree to it after committing to the first one that Abbott backed out of today. So Abbott backed out on the ABC station for the PBS station. The goddess of irony indeed.
You know, Bob, I wanted to ask a question. I was talking with my mail person, Mike. And he said that in the South, even African Americans are Republicans.
Might be some truth to it. I haven't met a bunch of them, though.
Okay.
There's a few, but not very many.
Yeah. There's that's pretty much false, Larry. I mean, even here in Texas, Stan, the black vote goes 90%, sometimes as high as 98% for the Democrats. It's not really true. There's a few of them, a few crazy ones, but... You know, for the most part, we know who to vote for.
You know, like James Brown and Ray Charles. I don't know. You know, I didn't know these people, but when I was reading about James Brown, they said he was a piece of work. I don't know.
I interviewed him once.
Did you really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was during the time when his wife got busted with the crack or whatever it was in her, tucked in her bra. And I just made a couple of calls, you know, journalism stuff, and wound up getting James on the phone, Mr. Brown, at dinner time, and apparently he was a little bit sideways.
Hey, Saul, are you popping popcorn or something?
Oh, Sal.
Oh, hello. Sorry.
Background noise.
Okay, I'll mute.
Okay. No. The pull quote from my interview with James Brown was, "I don't want nothing to happen to my wife," said with a distinct slur. And I don't mean like an epithet. I mean. I think James was a little wasted.
Blotto.
Yeah. So, yeah, another one of those little brushes with greatness that I've had along the way.
Okay, a little bit more elaboration. I'm reading the full article now. And now I kind of understand why Greg Abbott did this, which only cements the chicken shit. Okay, so WFAA-TV and a bunch of other stations around Texas are all, they're owned by this company called Gannett, G-A-N-N-E-T-T. Mm-hmm. The WFAA debate would have been broadcast not only on WFAA, but on KHOU in Houston, KINS in San Antonio, KVU in Austin, and a bunch of other, you know, smaller stations, which basically the total reach would be 83% of Texas. This KERA debate would only be on KERA in North Texas. He doesn't want the entire state watching him debate Whitney Davis.
He doesn't want the entire state watching him get his ass handed to him by a girl.
By a girl.
That's right. So that's the reason he bailed on. I hope that Wendy, because you know it says here that Wendy and her staff will be meeting with the staff at WFAA on the 2nd, and I seriously hope that they go through with, you know, still having.
So back up just a minute, because I think this opens the door to a little bit of linguistic analysis. Simulcasting a debate is not the format. The format is Greg Abbott goes first, Wendy goes second, whoever went first has a right of rebuttal, and then vice versa, blah, 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 and the answers will be 2 minutes in length, and yada, yada, yada. That's the format. The debate will be simulcasted is not the format. So Greg Abbott is still a liar, and his campaign, of course.
I am going to be calling this the Fozzie. This is the Fozzie Bear debate, because that's who's going to be moderating the one over on PBS.
Could someone... Robert Dunk, could someone introduce me to Chamber Lady, because I don't know Chamber Lady, and I haven't seen Saul in a while, so please say...
Oh, no.
That's me.
Yeah.
And who, I don't know Chamber... I've never met...
Carol, meet Larry. Larry, meet Carol. There.
Hi, Larry. It's Carol Baker.
And Carol is making her first foray into Friday on the Front Porch this evening. Mm-hmm. And I need to interrupt just for a minute. The conversation has been so good and so stimulating, but as is often the case during Friday on the Front Porch, I forget, and I'll get email over this. You know, Bob, how do you expect to raise funds? You're not mentioning them. So here we are at 11 minutes before the hour, 11 minutes before the close of the program, and I want to make sure and thank Thomas Jugapunch in the chat room for his help this evening. We have $120 left to raise in the program to finish the week okay in terms of our fundraising goal, and well, pretty much for the month of August too, as that stands. So. Just to mention, you know, PayPal button, headonradionetwork.com, or the U.S. Postal Service. The address is under the Contribute tab, okay? Because
hey,
I despise
Bob,
mentioning that stuff. Yeah.
I will match the next 60 that come in to close out the month.
Wow, thank you, Sal. So did you hear that? Sal is putting forward a $60 matching challenge. The next 60 bucks come in, get matched by Sal, so that so that we finish the week on the okay. Thank you, Sal. Thank you very kindly, especially knowing that you had kind of the week from hell.
You are quite welcome.
And, Bob, I'm sorry. I don't know if this is tangentially related. Missed the very first part of the show here. With Monday being a holiday as it is there going to be a show on Monday, or is that yet to be determined, or what?
Yeah, that's a game time decision. As it stands, I'll probably be here. But I may, depending on what happens with my family, we may decide to make a day of it. If we do, I'll put it on Facebook and Twitter and hope for the best.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. But I'd say more in. I mean, I got a more in here, and I've been. We got into the discussion of the debates so deeply that I was. Well, because I've felt like this just can't wait for more in Monday. Tom Baggioni, who blogs over at Raw Story and does so brilliantly and hilariously, points out a Right Wing Watch post regarding a guy named Dr. Ed Hindson. This could also be held over for prayer meeting Wednesday, but really that's too long. He went on something that is called Voice of Christian Youth America. And Dr. Ed Hindson is president of the World Prophetic Ministry. And can we, and I know we're liberals and progressives, and getting unanimous consent and consensus among liberals and progressives can be difficult, but can we all agree that no European had set foot on the anywhere in the Western Hemisphere as of, say, oh, I don't know, the second century of the Common Era, you know, second century A.D.? Can we do that?
No, I would suppose so.
Science says you're correct.
Thank you. Well, Dr. Ed Hindson says we're kind of not. Because Dr. Hindson was trying to explain to those world, what did we say they are? World Prophetic Ministry Voice of Christian Youth, that the reason the New United States is not mentioned in the book of Revelations is because we are so Christian that so many of us are going to get hauled up in the rapture that there's hardly going to be any new United States left at all. And that's just why we're not mentioned in the Revelations. Not because the continent hadn't been, no. And not because maybe the whatever it was that was coming out of those fumaroles over on the island of Patmos, where John was hallucinating his brains out, had turned his brains to mush. No, it's because there was no need for John to mention us, because we's all going to get raptured. I'm not kidding. He says that the Bible makes it clear the Antichrist will rise out of the old Roman Empire in Europe, which is going to piss off a whole bunch of teabaggers who are absolutely certain that Obama is the Antichrist. And he says, unless you try to view the Babylon of the end times as Merca, there's no indication that America's there anywhere in the Bible. So is she totally destroyed? Possibly, but not likely. It's more likely that she's decimated by the impact of the rapture. And the power then shifts to Europe, because I think the Bible makes it clear the Antichrist will rise out of the old Roman Empire.
So the white people will continue to rule.
I just want some of those drugs he's got.
You know, Bob, I'm going to ask a naive question, because I've not lived in that culture. But you can't tell me that the only book that these people read is the Bible. They must read other things other than the Bible.
Well, if they want to go to hell, they do.
It's the Republican Bible. It's not the one everybody else read.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So what?
I'm sorry, that shit's not in there.
No, it's not. It really isn't. So the white folks is all going to get raptured. And the United States will cease to be a world power.
Am I the only one that never polluted my brain by reading the Bible?
I haven't. I have some, but I haven't read it. I really have not.
You said you have some. You've read some of it.
Look, I'm probably the biggest atheist in the room, but I have a minor in religious studies. Which comes in really handy when you're calling bullshit on this stuff.
Oh, it does, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
What I meant, Dunk, is that I have some Bibles in my possession, but I haven't ever read them or studied them.
Larry, I just have to warn you, if you have Bibles that is not the King James Version, they are probably possessed by demons. And if you so much as open them, well, it's like opening the yawning mouth of hell itself.
I have the Jewish Publication Society, Tanakh, and
hell.
I've got good news for modern man. I've got
hell.
Whatever else I've got.
Hell.
Well,
Living Bible, hell.
I don't need to worry about hell or heaven because I'm living, and I see enough heaven and hell on this earth.
Son, all I can tell you is them books better be holding up that wobbly leg on the coffee table and nothing else.
Because they ain't good for nothing else.
That's right.
And I am proud to announce here in the waning moments of the program that Sal's challenge has been met. Thank you very much to Henry, and thank you very much to Diane, and thank you very much to Jack. So we not only met it, but we exceeded it by a good bit. Thank you. So basically, the way it worked out was Jack and Henry responded and pushed it $10 beyond Sal's challenge, and then Diane answered over again. That is a beautiful thing, and I thank you all very kindly.
Hey, Sal, would you like some jalapeno pistachios?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Send your address to Bob, and I'll get them in the mail next week.
Oh, beautiful. I'd love that.
When I ship the ones to Jim, I'm going to put them in the mail on Tuesday, so if I get your address through Bob before then, I'll send you some.
Okay.
And I'll see to it. Yeah, thank you very much, Sal, and thank you to Kathleen. And thank you, Diane. Thank you, Henry. Thank you, Jack. And thank you to Thomas Jug-a-Punch in the chat room.
That would be Kathy.
Ah.
That would be Kathy.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. And thank you for the lovely note.
Sorry.
That's okay.
You're welcome.
thank you for another great week, Bob, and the Horn family for participating. Thank you, Kathy. That's awfully sweet. So we got to get out of here. Thanks to a wonderful panel of extraordinary, ordinary Americans. Thank you to Sal and Larry and Haley and Todd and Kath, and thank you to Waggy, and thank you, Carol, and thank you, Sergi, and thank you, Sparky, for your long-suffering, long tenure as never-missed-a-night moderator of the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. It is really, really, really time to get out of here. A reminder, the Horn Malloy Skype chat group will continue at about 12.05 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time immediately following the Malloy program. Thanks to all of you who keep all of this going. I'm fast running out of time. And, you know, it's probably a pretty good bet I'll be here Monday. And, Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Happy Labor Day.